Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the beginning of our two-part study from Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. The lesson is titled, The Difference Between Covenant and Testament. There is a difference, and we will see what that difference is, and we will note the implications. But before beginning our study, we want to share a letter we love. This comes from a short note sent to us on Facebook by a Bible student in China named Lewis. And Lewis writes, Good day, Brother Greg. Just would like to send a quick note to thank you for your materials, videos, posted on YouTube. They have been a great help and blessing to me. Keep them coming. Maranatha. And Brother Lewis in China referenced John 3:30 in his signature, which says, He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen, Brother Lewis. And may the Lord bless you with great opportunities to preach His gospel to lost sinners in your part of China. It's incredibly exciting to get these letters and messages from around the world. And if you would like to write, you can send your letter to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And while we don't solicit for funds, I feel it's necessary to at least thank those who send gifts to help with this ministry. It helps pay for the cost of internet and radio time, and we are using every penny you send for that purpose. And we just want to say thank you for those who do send your gifts by check or money order to the P.O. Box, as well as those who give by PayPal on our website. And you can send us an email when you visit bbfohio.com, especially if you send us a gift. Send us an email and just let us know something about what the Lord is doing in your life. And we certainly welcome prayer requests. And you can rest assured if you send your request in, folks here at Bible Believers Fellowship in Worthington, Ohio will join you in praying for that need. And all letters and messages are seen by me first, so you can also be assured of privacy when you write. Now let's join our Bible study. But let's start with an opening prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for every opportunity to open your book and study, every opportunity to preach it, every opportunity to share it with others and teaching it. And now we pray for all those listening. Their hearts will be full of faith in your word. And we pray that everyone listening will have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, as they have each one personally trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ on that cross, shedding his blood, paying the full price for sin. And after being buried, he rose again bodily from the grave on the third day, according to the scriptures. And Lord, if there's anyone listening who has not believed that gospel, may you reach into their heart with your Holy Spirit and convict them. May each one know their need of salvation and trust in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation at that moment. But among those who are believers, we do ask your Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us. In Jesus' name. They took Jesus in your place. And that's what the bread stands for in the Passover. How many of you heard of the Passover? The Passover was not canceled. The Passover was fulfilled. When you see a lot of churches have that big fluffy bread, that's destroying the picture. The yeast in that bread, yeast is leaven, it represents sin. Your bread should not have yeast in it when you observe the Lord's Supper. It should be unleavened, no sin. Because Jesus, when he died on the cross, his body was without sin. And you see the matzah is burnt around the edges. You know why? Because you and I deserve to burn in hell. And Jesus represented by this matzah unleavened bread, He paid for your sins so that you will not have to burn in hell. And you see, the matzah has these holes pierced. The body of Jesus was pierced when they nailed Him to the cross. And so when you see the matzah, you see those little holes, that is telling you the body of Jesus was pierced for you and me. And then Jesus Himself took that bread and broke it, because His body was broken for you. You see pictures of Jesus, and He's got a couple of nails in His hands, one in His feet, and a little bit of blood off here. That's not a real picture of what Jesus suffered for you, but I don't think they could really duplicate what really happened. When He died for your sins, He took upon Him not only the flesh wounds of the stripes of them beating Him, and they pressed a crown of thorns that ripped the skin off of His head, and blood running down His face, blood running down His body, broken for you. That's the picture you want to get. Jesus broken for me and for you. And then we take the cup with the wine. That represents the blood that came pouring out of His body. Wasn't like your blood, wasn't like my blood. Our blood is tainted. His blood was the blood of God. Sinless, pure, shed to pay for your sins. That's the only reason we're here this morning, folks. The only reason we have hope is because of what Jesus did. His death, His burial, and resurrection. Brother John will give you the bread. Brother Sean will give you the cup. Now, I want you to understand something. We don't turn this into some formalistic thing like a lot of churches do. But at the same time, don't make it a joke. Like, I had to get on to a couple people last time we did communion, because it's no joke. But again, don't make this some kind of formal ritual either. Jesus was sitting around having a good time with His disciples. And then He just stopped in the middle of the meal and broke the bread and handed it to them and passed the cup. And so that's what we want to do as we take this bread and we take the wine. It's not a mourning. We're not mourning His death. And some people have turned the Lord's Supper into a time of mourning. We're not mourning His death. We are observing that He died for us and shed His blood. And we should have a sense of awe. We should have a sense of appreciation. But you should also have a sense of the joy that He wants you to have, knowing that He took care of your sins. But if you're here this morning and you have not trusted in what Jesus has done for you, you have not in your own mind, in your heart, made a conscious decision saying, I believe that what Jesus did on the cross paid for my sins, then you don't have that hope. And so we want everyone to reflect on what you've got in your hand, that bread and that wine. I want you to think about it. Is this your hope? Are you basing your eternal life in heaven on what Jesus has done for you? Or are you basing it on anything else? Because anything else leaves you in hell. Only the blood of Jesus, shed when they broke His body, gives us eternal life. So take the bread and the cup, and just for a moment, I want you to bow your head and close your eyes, just because you don't need to be distracted right now. And I want you to just think about your personal walk with the Lord. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus? And if you do, then spend a few minutes. Is there something you need to confess to Him? Sin that you've allowed to come between the two of you? This isn't about me or this church. It's about you and Jesus. Is there something between you? confess your sins. He is faithful and just to cleanse us. He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you've got to be real with God. And you might as well tell Him, folks, He knows. If there's any sin you need to confess, and having that forgiveness, having that cleansing, then with a clear conscience, we can say, I believe what I'm doing with this bread, what I'm doing with this wine, I'm doing something that is an outward sign of what's in my heart. I'm trusting in what He did for me on the cross. And Jesus took the bread, broke it, and said, take, eat. This is my body. And then He took the cup. And we're going to see, actually in our Bible study, that He referred to this as the blood of His New Testament, shed for the remission of sin. He said, take the cup and drink ye all of it. And He said to do that in remembrance, meaning you've already believed, and now we do this in remembrance of what He's already done for us as believers. Isn't it good to be saved?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just a word, we always mention this, that we always ask folks to refrain from using a lot of colognes and perfumes. No one here today is making anybody sick, so we thank you for that. We mention it. Churches should all do this. Christians and churches of all people should be thoughtful. And you know there are people out there who won't go to church, not just this one. Of course they could come here, but they won't go to their home churches anymore because they go in and people make them sick. And then when people are asked not to wear that stuff, you know people refuse. Now is that Christ-like? So what all we're saying is we want to be very Christ-like. If you want to share your smell with the world the other 6 days of the week, you go right ahead. We just ask you not to come in here. Like, I always think of the pig pen. You know how you had that cloud around it? Yeah. All right. If you're in your Bible, Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to move through this. Get it in your mind. Get the gist of what I'm talking about this morning. Take notes if you can. Always be mindful that if you hear a message here and you say, well, I didn't really get all that. Well, it's going to be on the internet, and most of our Galatian messages will air on the radio as well. So remember, bbfohio.com, and you can go listen any message you want to hear again. And it's just, I'm not complaining, I'm just telling you, there's so many times people come up and say, well, what about this? And I'll say, yeah, we taught on that. And they can go out and listen to the message on it. And I'm not going to preach it again to you. I'm going to refer you to that website. So we're going to look at the difference between a covenant and testament and the implications of that on the life of the believer. In Galatians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Galatians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. And give you just a second to get there, and then we'll read together.
Difference between what?
Covenant and testament. Covenant and testament. All right, go ahead and begin in verse 15. Read with me. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though... Wait a minute. Is everybody there? Let's try it again. Take two. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now, we studied this in chapter 3, and we didn't go into this discussion of covenants at the time, But I've actually had a couple people ask me since then, so we need to cover this. And listen, a key to understanding the Bible is to understand the terms. Now, don't be a whiner. I can't stand whiners. Can you stand whiners?
Yeah. The King James Bible's too hard to understand. Please, Mama, chew my food for me and spit it on my plate.
That's what an NIV is. You just think about it. Your mom, I don't care how old or young you are, your mom taking a hamburger, pickles, lettuce, mayonnaise. Yeah. Here, Charlie. That is an NIV. That is an ESV. That's the new versions. That's what they've done. Because, now, when you look at that chewed up, spit out hamburger, it don't look the same, does it?
No.
Same thing's true with an NIV compared to your King James Bible.
Amen.
They don't look the same because they're not the same. So get you a King James Bible and stop your whining, people. And I'm talking to people I hear from out there. I mean, you know, people can learn software languages. They'll learn every character in Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. They can learn all this crap. I mean, I enjoy some of this stuff just as well as any of you. But in the scheme of things, it's not important. And they'll learn all that. And then they'll complain about their King James Bible. So hard to understand. They can quote Yoda, but not Paul. Covenant is not a testament. So learn the terms so you can understand your Bible. And if you come, this is going to blow some of your mind, I'm sure. You come in your Bible and you start reading. You come to a word you don't understand. Look it up. Isn't that difficult? What does the word food mean? Well, the word meat in the Bible, people get confused because they think of steak. And they don't realize meat and meal, flour, same. You know, you don't even have to actually look it up. If you pay attention as you're reading, the Bible will tell you exactly what that is.
Yeah.
They'll tell you that they make bread out of the meat offering, the meal offering. Oh, how do you make bread? Flour, water, and a little salt. Amen?
Amen.
Real easy. Covenant and testament are words that people get confused with. These are not synonyms. So when you read about a covenant in the Bible, they're not synonyms. Now, some of you have been out of school so long, you're like, synonym, and what's that? Is that what you put in on top of, you know, I like cinnamon toast. Not cinnamon. Synonym. That means words that are different but have similar meanings. This ain't it. They're not synonyms. We read in verse 15, it says, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. It's speaking in terms of a contract. Amen?
Amen.
A covenant is like a contract. We're going to see that's not what a testament is. The word testament is used in other places, and if you don't get the difference, you will confuse that word with the word covenant. And folks, seminarians do that.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, people who first pick up the Bible who get those confused. We saw this word in our study of the Gospel of Mark back in Mark 14:24, and he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And I believe, I should have looked this up, but I believe some of those chewed up and spit out Bibles actually changed Testament to Covenant in that verse.
Yeah.
Somebody check us on that. Okay. Not right this minute. But I mean, check out, let me know. I'll try to remember to look myself. But a covenant is basically like a contract. A testament is more like a gift.
Yeah.
Okay? There's a big difference there. When you see references to covenant, you're seeing a contract, an agreement that people knowingly went into. But a testament is more like the gift. A covenant is an agreement between two living parties. And we're going to look at the, real quick, we're going to go through what some of these covenants were, and you'll see that it always involved God and somebody. The marriage covenant, that's an example. I know some of the men seem to be taken to the altar kicking and screaming. But once you get them there, they say, "I do." And once you do that, you've done it. You're in contract. And if you don't believe that, try to break that thing later and see where you end up in front of a judge. Amen? It's because you made a covenant. And if you break it, you'll pay for it. Now, testament regards inheritance after the death of the testator. As in, how many of you heard of this? Last will and testament. See, a lot of these words in the Bible, if you just think, how do I use that word on a normal basis? You'll see the meaning. When the New Testament, where do you hear the word testament? I hardly ever hear it used outside of this usage right here. Last will and testament. Now, things that are different are not the same. Say that with me. Things that are different are not the same. Some of you just are like, whoa. This preacher gets deep. You better make that difference. And those who ignore this difference are either doing so in ignorance or are motivated by error. In other words, there are a lot of guys teaching in churches who have no business teaching.
Amen.
The Bible says you shouldn't be a novice and up here teaching. There are guys who are researchers who do a good job in researching things like current events and Bible prophecy and that stuff. They have no business pastoring, no business teaching the Bible. We're looking at a guy on Wednesday night named Waleed Shubat. Haven't you heard of him? He's a former terrorist who has a great testimony of faith in Jesus Christ. But now he's trying to teach the Bible, and he's leading people into this idea of the Mahdi being the Antichrist. And he's also teaching people that it's okay to have statues and burn incense and all that stuff. He's very Catholic light in some of his... He shouldn't be teaching the Bible, but that's what he's trying to do. You get in trouble when you follow people like that. The covenants, make it real simple. The covenants belong to Israel. And that's... Once you start calling yourself Israel, see, that's the error. People will start saying the church has replaced Israel. And it's so stupid. I'm sorry, I hate to use those words, crap and stupid. Some of you might be a little thin-skinned. I hope you don't mind me being real. But it's, think of how stupid it is that these... And I'm talking about the majority of Christian churches today.
Amen.
Teach that the church has replaced Israel. Folks, the Bible says in Romans that Israel is blind.
Amen.
Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. If the church has replaced Israel, y'all are blind spiritually. Do you get that? How simple that is? We're not blind. We've been set free.
Amen.
Jesus is the light. We have the light.
Amen.
If you're in darkness, it's only because you refuse to be taught. You, as a Christian, we have the source of infallible knowledge in the Word of God. Israel has been blinded in part until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled.
Amen.
And the church isn't Israel.
Amen.
You see, things that are different are not the same. Amen?
Amen.
That may sound real obvious, but man, most of the preachers I ever met can't get it. Don't get it. What? Things that are different. Whoa, wait, what? Romans 9:4. Paul is speaking of who are Israelites. Look what he says. To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the what?
Covenant.
To who?
The Israelites.
And that ain't you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the giving of the law. Was the church given the law? And the service of God and the promises. And the promises are referring to Old Testament. Covenants belong to Israel. Amen?
Amen.
You got that down? You got that?
Yeah.
Amen.
Is that what it says?
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
To Israel belong the covenants. So the covenants belong to Israel. You got it. I'm not trying to beat a dead horse here. If you got it, good for you. You're way ahead of the rest of the team out here. Because people ain't getting it. And one of these covenants, by the way, just to give you an example of Bible covenants, one of these covenants was with Noah, the father of Shem. Ever heard of anti-Semitism?
Mm-hmm.
Comes from the word Shem, Shemites, who became the father of the Jews through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, from whom descended the Jew of Israel. That's why they call it anti-Semitism. In Genesis 6:18, it says, "But with thee will I establish my what?
Covenant."
Say it again.
Covenant.
Turn to your neighbor and say covenant. I just got to do that every once in a while. These TV preachers do that. I just love it. Turn to your neighbor and say covenant. Turn to your other neighbor and say, "You are so pretty." Who said I can't lie? Who said that? Somebody said I can't lie. Oh, I hope you're dumb about him. We know you were. Yeah, preacher can get you in trouble. You better be careful. But with thee will I establish my what?
Covenant.
Say it again.
Covenant.
Okay. What was the token that symbolized that covenant? Some of you paid attention in Sunday school. The rainbow symbolizes the covenant. Sad thing about Sunday school, they only taught about 12 lessons and they just repeated them over and over. But the rainbow symbolizes the covenant. In Genesis 9:13-15, God is speaking, "I do set my bow." Put the word rain in front of that and you got what you call when you say it, rainbow. "I will set my bow in the cloud." And it, the King James is so hard to understand. What's a bow? And it, I've heard that. I've heard that. I'm not making that up. "And it shall be for a token of a what?
Covenant.
Between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud." Now, God is making this. And the whole earth has benefited from this. You know? I mean, the whole earth has benefited from the fact that God is not going to destroy the whole earth again by water. But he's making it with Noah. Making the covenant with Noah. Look at verse 15. "And I will remember my what?
Covenant.
Which is between me and you and..." See, we get the benefit of this. "And every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh." Now, down in Texas, they're starting to wonder. And we got... my sister came in from Louisiana, but she drove to Dallas, Fort Worth, and flew in with my aunt and cousin. And then while she's up here in Ohio, my uncle who stayed back there sent a picture of her car with the water rising up. And it's, what was it, a little Fiat or something. And if it would have gone just a few more inches, that car would have been sailing. And not intended to do that, you know. But Texas, Texans, anybody you got relatives down there, I assure you, Texas may flood, but the rest of the earth is going to be okay.
That concludes part one of this study. Be sure to tune in for part two, or you can find part two of this message along with hundreds of other free Bible studies in video and MP3 audio at bbfohio.com. Jesus could rapture us at any moment, so be busy about his work and living with him in mind so long as he tarries. May the Lord bless you as you serve him for his glory. I'm Pastor Greg. Thank you for listening.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.